under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Morning, Izzy Lyman, 97.7 FM, WCHY, the third hour of Your Defending Fathers, and I am very, very excited about our next guest. He is a gentleman who is the tip of the spear when it comes to Eagle Pass, Texas, doing great journalism and photojournalism. Mr. Auden Cabello, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. So, there's so much to unpack. The song said, don't tread on me, but our country's being tread upon at the southern border almost every minute, perhaps, right?
That's correct. I've been documenting the migration flow here on the U.S.-Mexico border, and it's been nonstop, whether it's Acuña, Del Rio, Eagle Pass, Sierra Negra, where I mainly cover. But you turn on the news, and it's happening just about everywhere. Juarez, El Paso, Arizona. It's nonstop.
Is it like you've never seen in all your years of covering the border? Obviously, right?
That's correct. Well, I guess the most alarming was witnessing the buses arrive in Acuña with the thousands of Haitians arriving here when we had the 15,000 underneath the Del Rio International Bridge. And then it never stopped until the next alarming event was here 2 weeks ago when we had 3,000 back-to-back, 2 days, making it up to 7,000 in Tierra Negras when they arrived by train, and just seeing that line nonstop when they're crossing the Rio Grande.
Well, the latest stat is that 260,000 migrants have illegally crossed into the country, the highest number in a single month ever recorded. That is so shocking. So shocking. And obviously, what are we going to do with all these people?
That's a great question. And that's one thing that I've been doing on the Mexican side. I've been sounding the alarm back in since December of last year when Todd Benson and I were in Monterrey documenting how migrants were arriving to the U.S.-Mexico border on trains, something that had had not been reported. What was mainly reported on the Bestia, the train, was in southern or central Mexico.
Oh, did we lose Auden? Okay, looks like we lost Auden briefly here. He's probably on the southern border. I'm going to try to call him again, and hopefully he will pick up here. He's a front lines guy.
Hey, this is voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up.
Okay, let's try one more time. Let us, Auden, I'm calling you if you can hear me out in Netherlands here. Let's try again. All right, hopefully He won't.
Please leave your message for 8304229153.
Okay, we'll give him a second because it sounds like he's trying to call me, and I need to call you, Auden. And here's a little sidebar story about Auden. He actually accompanied, he was the Sherpa, if you will, for Americans that want to cross over into Mexico, and he acts as a guide and as a translator, and he helped out my son when he wanted to cross the border. Auden, are you there?
I'm back. Sorry about
okay.
that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You're probably in a spotty area given your reporting duties. Also, I want to talk about Elon Musk. He visited the border. He visited specifically Eagle Pass, and he retweeted you. That was very exciting. He was following you and your stories and your point of view.
That's correct. And I think...
And hold that thought. We're going to take a little break, but hold that thought. We'll talk about that when we get back.
Great.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659. The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
It's fall in Tuscarora Township and Indian River. A beautiful symphony of nature's dazzling colors of ambers, reds, and yellows. Golden Burt Lake sunsets and the crisp, clean air of northern Michigan. Enjoy our beautiful trails and byways. Fish and boat our clean waters. And meet the friendly people in our community.
Township Supervisor Bob Kramer, we love this place, and you will too. That's why I paid for this message.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tellini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebels for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Presqu'ile Electric and Gas Co-op has been committed to bringing a brighter future to members for more than 85 years. That's why we're hard at work to create a future-focused fiber broadband network that will connect rural Michigan to the world. PIE&G Connect will offer the fastest speeds and most reliable internet available in Northeast Michigan. The future is fiber, powered by Presqu'ile Electric and Gas Co-op. Sign up today at PIEGConnect.com.
Good morning. I'm Izzy Lyman. You're listening to 97.7 FM WCHY. The text line is 231-758-7707, and we are continuing our conversation with Mr. Auden Cabello, who is at Eagle Pass, Texas. Well, he's reporting from there, and his encounter with Elon Musk. Can you share a little bit more about that, Auden?
Yeah, so as you know, Elon has been promoting citizen journalism on his platform X.
Yes.
And, I think that's one of the reasons why he came down, and he was live streaming his whole visit, something that he encouraged others to do. And not only that, I mean, he was able to see one of my videos and share it, which has been viewed by over 25 million people.
Wow. And,
yeah, it's amazing. Something I didn't expect. I was there. I did see him in person. I wasn't able to speak with him. He didn't talk to the media.
He didn't talk to the media?
No, he did not. He did not approach the media. He did the normal tour. It was under the bridge. There were still migrants crossing. It was completely unscripted, unplanned. It was not for a photo op. And I think that's one of the reasons why he didn't talk to the media. There were still migrants crossing when he was there. They had a gathering of about 100 migrants that were staged underneath the bridge. He was able to see them. He did talk to a few high school students from Eagle Pass, but that's it. As far as I know, the media didn't. We weren't granted access to him for an interview.
It's one of those days. You know, I heard that Elon Musk's live streaming has glitches or had glitches when he was at Eagle Pass. So I'm feeling like if Elon Musk had problems, I'm not going to feel too bad about any of this. But let me try calling Mr. Auden and see if he picks up and he doesn't go to voicemail. But these things happen, unfortunately, with the tech world. It's a great blessing. And hey there.
I'm back.
Okay. I don't want to be talking about Eagle Pass here. You need to be on the record. Who knows what I would say?
Okay. Yeah, so the media wasn't able to talk to Elon Musk. So after that, we were able to film him there. And then on my way back to Del Rio from Eagle Pass, that's when my phone starts, as they say, blowing up from messages and notifications. And a few of the colleagues congratulated me. And I had no idea what they were talking about because I was driving. Not until I stopped and looked at what was happening that, you know, I almost broke down in tears. I said, all these years reporting from the border and, you know, getting very little attention that I'm having to push my work out through networks, Fox News, reporters, so they can push out, you know, what's really happening on the border and to finally get recognized, it's a big accomplishment and nothing more than having Elon Musk retweet one or reshare one of your videos. So that was a great experience and I think a highlight that motivates me, you know, to keep doing what I'm doing.
Absolutely. And I think he has been called by Netanyahu the unofficial president of the United States, Elon Musk. And I think in some ways that's really true.
It is. I mean, he's doing very much more than our politicians are doing. I mean, we have a border czar who doesn't really address the border. We have a president who visited once El Paso, but it was more, as we say, a photo op. They cleaned the border for him. It was completely clean. They cleared all the migrants. And I think that's why Elon remained somewhat he didn't provide too many details as far as, you know, what his visit, when it was going to be, other than saying sometime this week in Eagle Pass, and caught everybody off guard, even the media and the Border Patrol agents. Everybody, he just showed up and started live streaming what was happening at the border. And he's gotten more people to pay attention to what's happening at the border than.
Oops. Oh, dear. Well, hang in there, folks. We're going to make it through this interview, and I want to get Auden's contact information so you can see some of the work he's doing before we have a little goodbye here. I don't know. Maybe the Biden administration does. Hello there. So
hello.
Before we have another, let's get your information out there where people can follow you or see some of your work, because really you are mostly talking to a Michigan crowd, and we it would be great for us to see what you're doing.
Yeah, so everything that I'm seeing down here, I immediately report on X, and you can find me there as Cabello Auden. That's my last name and first name.
Okay, spell that. Spell that for us.
Cabello is C-A-B-E-L-L-O. Auden is A-U-D-E-N.
Okay, And that's I still call it Twitter. I prefer Twitter, but definitely it's on X. That's where all your good video goes right now. Anywhere else that we should be looking for you?
So I do post like my interviews, all the work that I do with the migrants on my Facebook page. But that one it's for my Spanish audience. But either way, I mean it's there, and then some of it, of course, on X. So either or, that's where I do my main postings, and then after that I'll reshare it on Instagram. But mainly, initially it goes on X. That's where all my footage will be. And then if someone is interested in learning more from the migrant perspective, or I talk to them, I walk with them, and I join them as they cross the river, then that'll be on my Facebook page. And it's also Auden B. Cabello.
And I was telling the folks while we were not talking to each other about how you accompanied my own son. You were acting as a Sherpa of sorts into Mexico, because one of your complaints has been that the mainstream media doesn't go across into Mexico and see the other side of the southern border.
Exactly. And I think that's what drove me initially to do my citizen journalism, is because I live on the border. I was watching the networks cover the border crisis. And I'm like, they're missing half the story. There's a lot going on the Mexican side. So that's when I started reaching out and saying, come to the Mexican side. You're going to see the complete story. They're like, oh, no, we can't go. Security reasons and that. So then that's what drove me to say, well, then I'll film it. I'll share it on social media. And there's been reporters, your son included, that want to see the full story. I said, come on, let's go to Mexico. I'll take you. I'll show you what's really happening so you get a better understanding of what's happening. And that's just here on the U.S.-Mexico border from the Mexican side. But if you really want to understand what's happening, of course, you could go to the Darien Gap. And ground zero in Mexico is Tapachula, Chiapas. That's where they all concentrate. That's where they get their documentation to travel through Mexico to make it to the U.S.-Mexico border. I said, and I don't see journalists, especially, you know, U.S. media, doing that. So they're only telling you what they're seeing at the border. And I said, if you want to be a good journalist, you have to explain why it's happening, you know, who's behind it. There's more to the story that's not being told. And I think that's where the media is failing. And that's where citizen journalists like myself come in, and we fill in that gap.
Exactly. And like you pointed out, there have been some folks that have taken you up on your offer for sure, but there's still so much work to be done in terms of the full reporting of the story. Let me ask you a hypothetical question, Auden. If you were the border czar right now, I've made you border czar, what would you do?
So first thing would be change policy. The policies we have in place are not being enforced. One thing that I've understood from the migrants is two things that pretty much define all of them just from their interviews. One is that they're not going to remain in Mexico. And that's why I don't agree with this remain in Mexico policy, because all you're doing is piling them up, creating a backlog in Mexico. And that's something that President Trump did. So what happened when President Biden came in? They were all on standby in Mexico and they rushed the border. And that's what we're seeing. So remain in Mexico, that's one thing that they're not going to do, and they're not going to remain in any other country. The other one is they're not going willingly back to their country of origin. So okay. To me, an effective policy is one where they won't even think about migrating illegally to the United States. Because once they start their journey, they're not going to stop until they make it into the United States. So that would be the first thing is stop the flow. And then as far as the border wall, I mean, there's a lot we could say about that, but barriers, physical barriers to me are not as effective as having I would call it a mental barrier, where they don't even think about the idea of coming to the United States illegally, knowing that it's a waste of time, it's a waste of resources, and they're going to go straight back to their country, guaranteed.
I like that, a mental barrier. That I have never heard. That's important also into the mix of things. So what do you think going forward is going to happen with all these people? Is it just going to they're still going to go to New York and Chicago and L.A., or they're going to put them in some of our communities. I live in rural Michigan. Can I expect some of these people here?
Yeah, so the crossings that have been documented have been in Piedra Negra's Eagle Pass. We haven't had any in Acuña, Del Rio, but in Del Rio, we do have an NGO that's providing support for those migrants that have been processed already. And they just reported that for the month of September, they had 10,221 processed migrants released into the interior of the United States. You're talking of about well over 200 shuttle buses to move that many people. And what Governor Abbott is doing is that he's moving and transporting all these processed migrants to sanctuary cities. So, yes, expect many more coming your way to the interior of the United States. What they're going to do, most of them are Venezuelans. And they come with the mentality of entitlement, that the government is going to provide everything for them. So I think this is just going to continue. That's one thing I reported after Title 42. What I was witnessing here at the border is that they were still arriving, they were still crossing, and it wasn't stopping. The media just now picked it up, something that, you know, I've been screaming out loud for about 9 months now.
Well, I'm wondering what they, for example, here they'd have to take over our hotels, which would be horrible, by the way, or I assume that... I hope and pray none of this ever happens, but I'm beginning to wonder. I'm beginning to wonder, to tell you the truth. I guess we all should. So just a point of information, in Michigan, over the weekend, the sheriff of Oakland County, which is near Detroit, said that there was a spate of burglaries in very posh homes in this Oakland County place that were being conducted by transnational gangs from across the border. And the sheriff named a bunch of countries, Chile and Colombia, and on it went. And I had never heard of so many folks concentrating in an area like that. Is that something you're familiar with? So many folks from different nations.
Yeah. So right now, like I said, the vast majority that are crossing, about 90%, are from Venezuela. But there's other countries in the mix. And what they're seeing is that the border is wide open. So they're all rushing in. And what you're going to witness is U.S. citizens. If these people can't find a job, then their next resort is to your crime rates are going to go up. Somehow they have to find a way to live. And I think that's the biggest thing that's going to affect the local communities, small communities, especially in the United States. And they're going to be taking over, for example, in El Paso, they're taking over schools to house them. You mentioned the hotels.
Yep.
And I think all this is going to continue. Just monitoring the migrant flow that's en route. Tapachula right now is busting in the seams. There's operations with all the media attention that we started here about migrants arriving on train. There's a lot of media attention on that. So now there's operations going on in Mexico where they're not letting migrants board the trains. So it's creating a backlog in cities like Monterrey, in Tapachula. But once that pressure busts, then all those migrants will arrive, and that's when it becomes chaotic, even more chaotic, at the U.S.-Mexico border. And eventually, like I've been documenting, all these NGOs are transporting migrants into the interior of the United States. So I think this is going to continue as long as we have the Biden administration at the White House.
Thank you so much, Auden. We wish you the best, and we will keep an eye on your work.
Thank you very much for having me.
Certainly.